Our scripture for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, selections from chapters 6, 7, and 8. Listen now for God's word. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that God had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved God to God's heart. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all of your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. When the day came, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah with his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, all winged creatures, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased, and it rose high above the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say. In the time of Noah, evil and wickedness had increased on the face of the earth. As the story of God's creation unfolds in the book of Genesis, sin first entered the world through the actions of the first human beings, Adam and Eve. They disobey God's command, and then the sin of humanity quickly multiplies. The sinfulness of the human heart, encouraged and tempted by spiritual forces opposing God's will, soon poisoned all of God's good creation. In Genesis chapter 6, just six chapters into the story of the Bible, just before the story of Noah and the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, we get one of the saddest and most profound statements within the Bible. We are told that the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that God had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved God to God's heart. God was sorry that God created humanity. The sin and the wickedness of us human beings was so bad. The things we were doing, the ways that we were living, and how we were treating one another and the world around us was so bad. The condition of the human heart and the resulting violence and wickedness were so cruel that God wished we weren't even here. God was grieved to God's heart. Do we ever get grieved to the heart when it comes to the human condition here upon the earth? I think we do feel this way at times about our situation. For me, this is especially true in the last couple of years as we have heard the alarm bells of global climate change ringing louder and louder, and we have seen our own government and the governments of our world act in ways that seem unresponsive. I trust that we have all seen images of the earth from space. Because of this, we know what it is like to look down upon the face of the entire earth. We, like God, as God is depicted in Scripture, we can look down upon the earth and we can imagine the wickedness of humanity. We can look and see how it seems that the inclination of our human hearts here across this globe are evil continually. As the ice caps melt, as polar bears starve, As species of animals go extinct, as California and Australia and the Amazon jungle burn, as some regions of our world are drenched in rains and rising rivers, while other places where those rains used to reach experience deadly droughts, while all of this unfolds, I think that we can resonate with a God who looks down upon the earth and is grieved to God's heart. When I see the headlines, when I watch the news or read the news, I am grieved to my heart. How wicked have we become? How terrible are we that this is the level of stewardship of God's creation that we have engaged upon? A selfish stewardship that has not led to human or global flourishing, but to situations of famine and continual war. Situations where there are massive movements of refugees fleeing famine and economic impossibilities and violence, which then has led to worldwide anti-immigrant movements and xenophobic sentiments. Personally, I think it is easy while reading scripture to resonate with a God who looks down upon the face of the earth and is grieved to the heart. A God who looks down upon the earth and wonders if perhaps things would have been better if humankind hadn't been put in a place of authority and dominion over the hills and the valleys, the plants and the animals, the water and the air of this good creation. In Noah's time, God could have presumably wiped humankind completely from the face of the earth. Presumably, God could have decided to be completely done with us. But something in God's nature, something at the core of God's being, prevented God from completely giving up on humanity, on us earthlings that God had created and whom God loved and whom God had placed here in this world. Theologians express this truth in terms of the nature of God's love. How God's love works. That in becoming the God of creation, in choosing to create, in choosing to make us, God made a commitment within God's own self. God made a commitment to not give up. God made a commitment to never give up. God decided that what it means for God to be love, what it means for God to be a God of love, is that God would not simply do away with us, or turn away from us and never turn back. In Noah's day, God sends a world-cleansing flood. God sanctions 40 days and nights of rain, a flood to wipe the slate as clean as God was willing or able to go. God sends a flood and spares only one righteous man, and his wife and his children, Noah and his family, a righteous man, a single righteous figure from which God will seek to recreate humankind. Today is the first Sunday in a new church season. We have entered the season of Lent, and it is a 40-day period of time that refers back to an experience in Jesus' own ministry. At the onset of his ministry, before he began preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons and causing all of the trouble and the joy that he would cause, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. How do these 40 days of Jesus' wilderness experience, how do they relate to the 40 days and nights of rain in the story of Noah? The 40 days of rain in Noah's time, they were God's intervention. They were God's intervention to try and deal with sinful humanity. A flood to wipe the slate clean. A flood to bring transformation on the face of the earth. A flood to wash away the sins of humanity. In Jesus' day, God's intervention was not 40 days and nights of rain and a resulting flood. Instead, God's intervention to deal with human sinfulness was Jesus' own life and his death and his resurrection. The flood that God would bring would be a flood of Jesus' poured out blood. which comes to wash us clean, a flood which promises to transform our sinful and broken hearts, a flood to wash our sins away, a flood which has the power and the promise to change us and to change our broken humanity. In Jesus' day, God intervenes into creation to deal with human sin, and this time the scenario is completely reversed from the experience of Noah's flood. Rather than saving the one righteous man and destroying the rest of sinful humanity, the scenario is reversed. The one righteous man, Jesus, he is the only one who experiences the consequences of sin. Rather than floating in an ark above the flood of the consequences of our sins, Jesus, the one righteous man, he slips below the surface of the flood, as it were. On the cross, Jesus perishes under the consequences of our sins. But of course, this destruction is not the end of the story. Jesus dies upon the cross to put to death our sinful reality, and he rises according to God's will to bring about a new humanity, a new possibility. What do these 40 days of Lent mean to us? What does God call to our attention during this special time of year? In a world that is so clearly full of sin, in a world whose wickedness, a world whose brokenness and its propensity for evil and rebellion and trouble, in a world of this kind, we crave God's intervention. We reach out our hands and our broken hearts, and we reach out our prayers to God, craving that God would intervene, that God would act swiftly and definitively to help us, to help our world, to transform our broken reality. At times, we may hope for an intervention like the flood of Noah's experience. At times, we may lose hope for humanity. At times, we may lose hope even for ourselves. At times, we may wish for those 40 days of rain. And at times, we may wish for the floodgates of the heavens to be opened and the destruction to come. We might even look into our own lives, at the condition of our own hearts, and we may think that the only solution to our sinfulness is destruction. But God has other plans. Jesus came like the 40 days and nights of rain. Jesus came as God's intervention for our sins. Jesus came to bring the flood that can wash our sins away. Our sin, the sin of our world, it does grieve God to God's heart. And our sin does move God to intervene. But the intervention that God has chosen is the intervention of Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection to new life, and the cleansing gift of his blood and the transforming power of faith in him. Faith which washes our sins away and promises to bring us and our world a new and a transformed reality. In these 40 days and nights of Lent, my prayer is that we would seek to succumb to this cleansing flood, and that we would allow this flood to bring with it the transformation not only of our hearts and our lives, but of all things. Amen.